I think that having Representative Alex Andrade on might be Davis's favorite segment because he gets to play the music that makes him the most happy of all the music he gets to play, which is good because it's also Alex's music, old school rap. Joining us now by phone, State Representative Alex Andrade. He is the representative for the southern half of Escambia County, plus Gulf Breeze and Pensacola Beach. Alex, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. And I would like to note that while he might not admit it, Jerry Williamson is one of the biggest old school rap fans I know. So there's a good group of guys in the Florida House who are appreciative of the old school rap, not just me.
I think Representative Salzman would be okay with this. I certainly know Marco Rubio is a big fan, so it's kind of like this secret cult of old school rap aficionados. And now, if you tell me Doug Broxson is a fan, I'm going to look at you sideways because I don't believe that for a moment. But hey, it's more surprising things.
I think he's cooler than you give him credit for.
I didn't say that. You said that. All right. So let's talk about things that are happening. One of the sort of big, even national news items is HB1 that obviously the Senate passed last week. And, you know, you and I have talked about many times, many people for this, many people concerned. But this has been sent to the governor now to be signed. How soon do you think that's going to happen?
Andrew, I believe that Governor Santis is going to sign HB1 today in Polk County. He put out a press release, and he'll be there with the sponsor of the bill, Juan Fernandez Martín, along with the Senate President and Speaker of the House. So I believe it'll be signed today, and I think it can't be signed soon enough. You know, with the unrest we've seen in the past 2 weeks, again, no one I can find is not saying that death at the hands of a police officer is wrong, right? There are issues that we have to address and work on, especially with law enforcement officer training. But when reporters are pushing back against the chief of police saying a riot wasn't a riot, when officers are being hit in the head with bricks and with frozen soda cans and with rocks, we have a serious problem that does need to be addressed. So I'm glad that's getting handled here in Florida, and we'll actually have a statutory definition of a riot. So no reporter can misunderstand what that means, and no rioter can misunderstand what that means. And hopefully we can actually, you know, put peaceful protest on a different platform than violent riot and looting.
And even for some of the provisions that have gotten not a lot of attention but have raised, you know, questions and arguments, like the affirmative defense provision, it very clearly makes it a requirement that you have to actually be threatened. And if you are, then you have an affirmative defense of protecting yourself from violence being done in a riot by a mob. And it almost makes you wonder, well, what do they want to protect people from if they're against this as an affirmative defense? You know what I mean?
No, exactly. It's astounding to me that anyone can misunderstand the difference between peaceful protest, which is something we absolutely want to protect, which is something that is referenced two times in the bill, establishing that peaceful protests are something that we want to support and enfranchise, but we absolutely cannot have a situation where there's a misunderstanding about what a violent riot is and what a peaceful protest is. Like I'm just gobsmacked that we're at this point in American society where, you know, we can see reporters even lashing out at a chief of police when he calls a riot a riot. And he has to explain that he had officers injured from bricks to the head, like we've seen in the Brooklyn Center riots up in Minnesota the past few weeks.
Yeah, it's, as you say, it's almost sort of fundamental or foundational, even in the way these things get reported or talked about, that there's an unwillingness by some to even call something a riot when it clearly is, as though if you call a riot, you can't also have a faith in peaceful protest, which, again, we all believe in. I mean, we actively believe in. So anyway, it's fascinating to me. Now, you and I talked about this a little bit before. We had the transgender sports bill that has moved, and we have the election reform bill, which is in process, and we now have HB1, the anti-riot bill, that's going to get signed today, we think. I've said that any one of those three might draw threats of or actual boycotts against Florida. We've got the NCAA already posturing on the transgender sports bill. You know, I know you and I have talked about this before, and it's hard to boycott this large of an economy effectively, but Do you think this is a problem for us, or are there enough states moving in the same direction as we are that, I mean, I'll be honest, I feel a little bit like we're splitting as a country. That's how I feel, because of the direction that different states are taking, and that maybe these boycott threats are more revealing a deep schism between us as states. I don't know. Just your thoughts on what these three bills and the reaction to them is going to mean for the state.
Well, I just watched a TV interview this morning with Senator Rick Scott, who, you know, voiced the same responses that we've had. We're not going to be intimidated by the NCAA.
Mm-hmm. And
it's the height of hypocrisy for an organization like the NCAA, who has been fighting tooth and nail not to provide financial support to their athletes who put their bodies on the line day in and day out in college, not to even pay them any type of monetary financial support as they should in the circumstance. And if they want to say that they're the bastions of some kind of social justice reform, they need to actually look in the mirror, because I've seen countless instances where they've treated women's sports far less respectfully than the men's sports that they also regulate. We've seen recent examples in women's volleyball. We've seen recent examples in the NCAA women's basketball tournament. The NCAA is not the bastions of virtue that they like to try and telegraph themselves to be. And if they want to boycott the sports capital of the world, with national champions in almost every single sport at both the college and professional level, they can look ridiculous if they want to, but Florida's not going to be intimidated by an organization that can't get their own house in order.
Yeah, I do wonder if the NCAA doesn't look at this as an opportunity for them to distract from the other. we can get some support where we thought we had basically had it failing. We're talking to Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. Alex, slightly different question, but the court packing scheme that some of the Democrats in the House have proposed, pushing the number of Supreme Court justices up to 13. Biden has got a commission. President Biden's got a commission that's going to look at various possible changes. Nancy Pelosi says she's not going to hear it on the floor, but I had a lot of discussion about this on Friday. My take on this is, if you court pack, the court is no longer the court, and I don't even think we're obligated to follow their decisions. But what do you see happening? Play it out long term. What would Florida do under DeSantis if the Supreme Court were to be reformed this way and it became something other than it is right now?
Well, on the policy side, there's not much we can do, right? This is the Supreme Court at the federal level. President Biden can do that if he wants. I'll just note that he promised he wouldn't do that throughout his campaign, and I don't think he understands the political suicide he'd be committing if he actually did take advantage of this situation and pack the court, because the vast majority of Americans do not want to see politics injected at that level by politically elected individuals like President Biden or Congress. They want, and we should all value an unbiased court system. Our court system gets vilified a lot of times, but if President Biden wants to go and jeopardize re-election in the future, I'm not going to be the one to go give him the political advice to say that nobody wants to see that, and he'd be telegraphing that all of his campaign promises were a lie. He's proven a willingness to already do that several times since he's been elected. But if he wants to provide further evidence that he's going to keep zero of his campaign promises, he can go right ahead.
You've got a couple of bills you're working on today. One is your drone bill. You and I have talked about this a couple of times, but this would basically allow local governments to put a drone up in the air after an emergency like Sally in order to immediately capture, for example, flood imagery that would help us in things like our FEMA process. But you've run into a little bit of a hiccup with this bill, right?
Yeah. I ran this bill this year because I want to make sure no one goes through the same delay that we did this past year in getting individual assistance from FEMA, flying a drone up to try and capture the flood damage or fire damage after a different kind of natural disaster is a very efficient, fast way to capture the damage and submit that information to FEMA. Unfortunately, because we've seen circumstances like the Chinese company DJI that's gifted drones, hundreds of drones to local governments that have back doors that can actually transmit data back to China, It's raised itself in profile, and I've been working with Senator Rubio's office now to try and make sure that the drones that we fly in Florida are safe, cannot be compromised by hostile foreign governments. But it definitely turned a very simple bill into a slightly more complex bill. So it's being heard in its last committee today, and I'll keep working on it. And I do appreciate Senator Rubio's staff and team in helping me try and find a solution to make sure that the drones we're flying in Florida aren't being compromised by hostile foreign countries.
Yeah, I mean, good goal. And by the way, this might seem like, you know, federal meddling in a Florida bill, but the reality is we want to make sure to satisfy both requirements. Allow the local governments the capacity and make sure that we're not enabling the Chinese at the same time, right?
No, I don't see this as foreign meddling at all. Again, I was slightly naive because my jurisdiction is much more local than you know, foreign espionage. But
right.
I appreciate the help from Senator Rubio's office in helping us try and address it here in Florida for sure.
And the last thing is you've got your transportation bill is up today. It's not quite a everything bill, but this is the annual push all of the transportation projects and most of them all into one transportation train, right?
Yeah. Before I ran for office, I worked at the Florida Department of Transportation, so I've always been a big fan of transportation policy and making sure our transportation policy is the best it can be. My 9-section bill is becoming a 27-section bill, and it's covering the vast majority, I think, of transportation policy that's going to be passed. Hopefully this year. My desk is made of wood, so I'm knocking on wood right now when I say it's going to be passed. Obviously, but. You know, the transportation policy I get to work on every year is a ton of fun, and it's one of the most enjoyable policy aspects I work on.
Very good. And last minute add to that bill is that you're building a bridge from Garcon Point directly over to Pensacola, right? That's a part of that bill?
We're actually funding a complete hoverboard system. It's going to be the first one in the world.
Hovercraft?
Hovercraft. Yeah, it's like Uber, but free for everyone. And I just have to note that's not actually in the bill. But, Three-Mile Bridge is obviously still front and center in my mind. We'll continue working to address it. And there are other things in the works this year in the budget that I'm trying to get done for Northwest Florida, but I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver, so I can't talk too much about that.
All right, well, we'll talk about those at a subsequent time. Representative Alex Andrade, District 2, southern half of Escambia County, Gulf Breeze, and the beach. Alex, thanks for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andrew.